kind of started as a joke. They were like, hey, Olivia, you know, you're really good at soccer, so you'd probably be good at kicking a football. Like, you should be our kicker. And, of course, I blew it off. I was like, no, I can't do that. I've never even considered doing that. But they kept talking to me about it, and I was like, you know what? Maybe it would be cool.
Olivia Viney didn't know much about football when she became the kicker on her JV team at Marine City High School. She also didn't know that she was about to make history. And that's a Duff Said. This is episode 16 of A Duff Said. I'm your host, Duff Tyler. Thank you so much for hitting the play button on Podbean. Now, last year, there were more than 35,000 kids playing high school football in the state of Michigan, and 112 of those players were girls. Nationwide, more than 2,400 girls played high school football in 2018, though it is still very much a male-dominated sport. Michigan ranks 8th in the country with the total number of girls playing on tackle football teams. And that brings us to the story of Marine City native Olivia Viney. Back in 2012, she offered to be the kicker for her high school's junior varsity team. She was so good at it that the following year, she joined the Mariners varsity team. She would go on to be one of the best kickers in the history of the program, but she also broke barriers. In 2013, Marine City punched their ticket to the state finals, and that made Viney the first female to not only play in a state championship game, but to score points in it as well. My conversation with Olivia Viney starts now. Olivia, it is so good to finally catch up with you.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you too. It's been a while since I've been able to really talk about this.
I know. I'm glad we were able to bring it up because it's getting to be a bigger and bigger thing. Now, as I was talking to you before we actually started the conversation, I never got a chance to actually meet you. We're both from Marine City. I mean, you grew up there. I kind of just moved there and I was there for about 8 years, but I never got a chance to meet you face to face. In fact, my biggest encounter with you, and you're going to laugh at this, is I was covering a Marine City basketball game one night and I needed to talk to the coach at the time, Joel Weimer. And so I was headed to the locker room and they told me, okay, you can't go near there right now. I said, well, I just need to talk to Joel. I got to talk to him about what happened to the game. And they said, do you not see what's over there? And they point over to the side of the basketball court. And I look over and I see all these big, bright lights. And I see you sitting there in a chair. And you're doing one of the many interviews that you had around that time.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was one of several that you did around that time back in 2013. Everybody was talking about Olivia Viney. And you had people from Sports Illustrated, you had ESPN, all the area Detroit stations were coming to talk to you. What was that exposure like for you?
It was really overwhelming. You know, I originally wanted to play football just for the experience, and I didn't even really know that we would go so far and win the state championship or anything like that. But yeah, the press was really overwhelming. I was pulled out of class sometimes to do like radio interviews, and yeah, when Sports Illustrated reached out to put me or feature me in the Faces in the Crowd portion, it was very humbling to be able to experience that. And I always tried to give so much credit to the team and my coaches too, because obviously I couldn't have done it without them. But it was pretty cool to kind of experience, you know, the little 15 minutes of fame and be recognized around Marine City and all that stuff. It was pretty neat.
Now, when you open the page of Sports Illustrated and you see your picture there, what was that like talking about that with your friends and everybody in the hallways?
Everyone thought it was really cool. You know, like the guys on the football team were like, man, I always read the Faces in the Crowd section. I always see who's in there. And to see my face with, I think, like 5 other students around the U.S. that were doing such amazing things. It was a really cool feeling to kind of feel like I was up there with those people that were doing such great things. When for me, it was just like, it was just what I did. You know, I just played football. I was the kicker. But it just turned out to be such an amazing experience.
How many people came up to you and asked you for an autograph?
not a whole lot. They were usually like younger, you know, younger children or like little girls a lot would get some autographs, but not too many actual autographs, some pictures every once in a while. But yeah, it was, that was actually one of my favorite parts of, you know, the whole, you know, the fame or whatever you want to call it. But it was one of my favorite parts is being able to really connect with the younger generation and just kind of show them that it doesn't matter if you're a girl or whatever, you can do whatever you put your mind to.
When I knew that I was going to get this opportunity to talk to you, I wanted to make sure that there hadn't been any other girls that had gotten the opportunity to play in a state championship game. Now, I talked to the MHSAA, and they think that there have been some other girls that have gotten that opportunity since you, but you're still the only one they think that has ever scored. Now, looking back on that game 6 years later, what's it like for you to know that you were the first to crack the glass ceiling?
I mean, I remember the day so clearly that I knew there was going to be a lot of pressure. There's going to be a lot of eyes on me, just because it was so new and it was, you know, that had never happened before, but I was just trying to stay focused and, you know, do practice and warm up as normal. And, I knew that it was a lot of pressure, but I couldn't let myself think about it on that day. I just needed to think about putting the ball through the uprights, and that was my only job. But yeah, afterwards it's pretty special to know, even 6 years later, now that I'm 22, it's really special to know that I was the first girl, and I hope there are girls after me that are able to say that they did it. But, you know, being the first is pretty cool, feeling like a trailblazer.
It's funny that you should mention that, because right now there's 112 girls competing this season on 11 player tackle teams. Now, like you, a lot of them are kickers. But believe it or not, there are some girls who are playing positions on both offense and defense. There's been some that I've seen that are playing free safety. They're playing wide receiver. And my favorite is the girl who is currently playing on the offensive line. Now, I know with your size, you probably wouldn't have been able to have played in that position. But
no way.
But the consensus at your time was that's as far as girls were probably ever going to go on high school football teams, being the kicker. So when you hear that there are girls playing at some of the other positions now and doing pretty well at them, what do you make of how far girls have come in the sport?
I think that is just fantastic. Yeah, I was even having a girl just as a kicker was kind of a new thing. But if they have the size, which I don't, I'm very short. But if they have the size and the discipline and everything it takes to play and be one of the guys, like, absolutely do it. If they can compete, I think that is so great for them. I just think that's so cool. And, I mean, I applaud the girls that are kickers as well, but I also extremely applaud the girls that are playing, you know, the positions on offense and defense, because I, you know, admittedly, I didn't know that much about football before I started playing. And once I did, I was like, oh my gosh, this sport is really hard. I have so much respect for these guys now. And so, I mean, any girl that gets out there and kind of puts her butt on the line like that, I really, really have a lot of respect for them.
Now, did you ever get a chance to play on special teams, like on kickoffs or punts, and get a chance to make a hit on somebody?
No, never during a game. They would occasionally in practice, they would have me be on like scout team just to kind of be a body out there, especially when I was on junior varsity my sophomore year. But I never in a game. They were very adamant about keeping me safe and not putting me in the line of danger. But when I was on junior varsity, they did teach me how to tackle, and they had me do scout team and everything like that. So I kind of learned a little bit of it, but I was definitely more comfortable going out there for the extra points.
Okay, so just from a practice standpoint, what was it like when you actually did get to hit one of your own teammates?
It was kind of weird. They paired me up with the smallest guy that was comparable to my size when we were sophomores in high school. And they had to teach me how, because being a soccer player, you know, that's not what I ever did. But it was, and the guys were really cool about it. You know, they were like, okay, she's just one of us. She's learning how to tackle. She's bear crawling through the mud, and she's out here in the rain. And I think it kind of grew respect for me as a player, which was a kind of nice base to have. But at first it was very awkward. Like, I was like, this is not what I do. But after a while it was like, okay, let's do the tackling drills and let's get out there.
I mean, I'm sure it felt good just a little bit, right? To make a hit on a guy.
once I kind of learned the mechanics of it, I was like, okay, I can do this. And then, yeah, it was kind of fun.
Now, do you still talk to that guy, or what was those conversations like even back then?
He knew he was the smallest guy on the team. So he was, he was always a good friend of mine. So, he understood that if I was going to be paired with anyone, it would be him. But yeah, he was a great sport about it. And I don't think he probably didn't go 100% against me, but that's okay. He was a great sport and a good tackling partner to have.
I want to talk to you now about how that journey even started, because like you mentioned before, you at that time were a terrific soccer player for the Mariners, and mm-hmm. your dad was a soccer coach. But how did it even come to be that you were going to try out for the junior varsity team at Marine City? I remember you had a conversation with the coach, and you said, hey, I'd like to be your kicker. How did that conversation go?
A couple of my friends they didn't have a kicker on the JV team. And a couple of my friends it kind of started as a joke. They were like, hey, Olivia, you're really good at soccer, so you'd probably be good at kicking a football. Like, you should be our kicker. And of course I blew it off. I was like, no, I can't do that. I've never even considered doing that. But they kept talking to me about it. And I was like, you know what? Maybe it would be cool. 'Cause my brother was actually the kicker when he was in high school, 4 years prior. So I kind of knew a little bit about like what he did and how practices worked and stuff like that. So I went out with my dad one day and I borrowed some of their footballs and a kicking tee. And my dad held the ball on the tee and he was like, okay, like just kick it. Like, let's just see if you can do it. And I was pretty decent right off the bat just from my soccer background. And I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I went up to the coach and I said, hey, Coach Forgetto, I'd like to be your kicker. And, he's pretty hesitant. He had never dealt with a girl on the team. And he said, well, let's bring you to a couple practices. We'll kind of see what you can do and we'll go from there. So my dad and I practiced for like a week on being able to, because it is a little different than kicking a soccer ball, but we just practiced being able to kick the football and like from hashes and like going farther back, seeing like what my distance was. And so coach kind of put me to the test and eventually told me that I would have a spot on the team, and that's where it went from there.
So your dad is clearly on board with this, and like you said, your brother was also a kicker. Was he kind of like your role model and inspiration to try this?
Yeah, he definitely made me feel a little bit more comfortable going into it, because I could ask him like, oh, like how was practices and how did it work for the game? And he kicked for one season because he eventually fractured his foot, but before that he was really good too. And so he was definitely a good resource for me to have like questions in the beginning, and just kind of really encouraging me, being like, yeah, you can do it, like I totally believe in you. It was really nice to have him have that experience too.
Now, getting back to that conversation that you had with your JV coach, were you at all nervous to approach him and even bring up the subject?
Oh, yeah. He's a pretty intimidating guy as it is. He's very serious, very no-nonsense. And, like, the assistant coaches, I didn't know them. So I was just this random girl coming up and asking to be their kicker. And I wasn't sure if the guys had, like, mentioned me before or what they knew. So yeah, I was very nervous, but I had a little bit of confidence knowing that I could kick the football from the practice I did with my dad. And I just kind of figured, you know what, if it doesn't work out, then that's fine. Like, I'll just go play soccer and do my thing. But if it works out, I think it'd be a lot of fun. So yeah, I was really nervous and going into it, I didn't know what to expect. But yeah, they found a spot for me on the team. It was really great.
So they invite you to the practice sessions, and you do really well there. You ace the test on that. So they give you a spot on the JV team. When you put on your helmet and pads for the first time, and you came running out onto the field with everybody else, what was going through your mind even back then on the JV team?
Oh, I was so scared. I just didn't know how people were going to react, like the crowd and the other team. And honestly, I really didn't, know what was going on a lot of the time, because I didn't know football very well. So I just knew when we scored, I had to go out there and kick. And, if they called for a field goal, I had to run out there and go kick field goal. I remember the second game, they tried to ice me. They called a timeout right before I was going to kick an extra point. And I wasn't nervous from being iced because I didn't really know what was going on. So so we like gathered up for our timeout and they're like, Olivia, like, you got this, you got this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, of course I can do this. Like, yeah, this is totally fine. So my ignorance was, I think made me a little bit less nervous, but I learned very quickly and being at all the practices and listening at halftime and the, you know, tape sessions and everything like that, I learned what was going on. And then it was just exhilarating to be one of the guys and be out there. Even on JV, you know, the attendance is not like it is at varsity, but it was I'm really glad I had that starting point to kind of get my confidence and then move up to varsity.
I find it very interesting that you'd never really followed football that closely before. So they told you they wanted you to be the kicker on the JV team, but how much football had you seen prior to that?
I mean, like, you know, if my dad or my brother or someone's watching a game of football, I'll sit down and watch it with them. But I never really paid a ton of attention. You know, I didn't have a lot of interest in it. I just thought it would be, you know, a fun new experience to try being the kicker for the football team. But yeah, now that I look back on it, I'm like, wow, I did not know anything. Like, I knew the basics of like how football works, but I definitely didn't have a respect for how much work went into it and like how intricate the plays are and how much thought goes into everything. So yeah, I did not know hardly anything at all. So I think in the beginning though, that helped me be a little just less nervous.
So like you said, there was a lot of learning curves that you had to go through in order to play the sport. What do you remember, though, about the first time that you did have to line up for an extra point?
The first time I had to line up, well, the first game on JV, they didn't have me kick. They went for two every time because that's what they usually had done because they didn't usually have a good kicker. So the second game was when I got to kick my first extra point, and I remember like lining up, I just did everything like I did in practice. And I was just like thinking to myself, please, please make this, please make this. Because I knew that if I didn't, my coach was going to keep going for two. So I was just telling myself, like, just do what you do in practice. Like, don't listen to everyone else. Like, just do what you do. And once I made that, I distinctly remember looking up into the stands and seeing my parents like standing up with their arms up, and they were pumped and I was excited. And, you know, little did I know that it would lead to such a great thing happening. But it was, yeah, the first kick, I was like, all right, I can do this. Now I got the first one under my belt.
And that would not be your last one by no means, because you were 40 out of 40 on extra points in junior varsity. Were you surprised by that number, or did you just feel so relaxed because you said, you know, I've got this. This is nothing like out of the ordinary for me because you've done it so many times in practice. So were you surprised by how well you were able to excel at being a kicker?
You know, after practicing for a while, I knew that I could do extra points consistently because accuracy was kind of my strength, not so much distance. So I knew if I was going to go out there for an extra point, I was going to make it. And it didn't matter if, you know, the scores were super close and like my extra points were imperative, or if we were up by a ton, like I knew that I was going to be able to make it. And I had total trust in my team too, and in the snapper and in the holder. And it just kind of, you know, became muscle memory to do it. So yeah.
Now, despite all the success you're having as a kicker for the team, in fact, you won them over. They decided they weren't going to go for two anymore. They were going to say, Olivia, you know what to do. Just go out and put up the extra point on the scoreboard. But you're still a girl in a guy's world. And in Marine mm-hmm. City, it is such a powerhouse in football. And there are so many boys in that area that dream of getting to play for the Mariners. So what was it like for you to join the roster, and how did they react to you?
Yeah, it is very much so a guy's world. And, you know, they kind of raised the little guys in Marine City to dream about playing for Marine City Varsity Football. And so I think a lot of people didn't know about me when I was on JV because it just, you know, it's all about the varsity at Marine City. So I don't think a ton of people knew about it, but the school received it really well. Everyone was supportive. Everyone thought it was pretty neat. My teammates were exceptional. They just treated me like one of the guys. They didn't treat me any different. And that's exactly what I wanted. And the coaches did the same. Like if I messed up in practice, they would yell at me, or they called me fella, you know, they'd be like, hey fellas. And that, you know, I was included in that. So I loved that part of it, like the actual team aspect and the community also received me very well, but I think it was because I was being successful. You know, as soon as I might slip up or something, they're like, oh, you know, is Olivia going to be okay? Is she going to be consistent anymore? And, but overall, everyone was so excited. And it was, I think that was almost the best part, was to have so much support from people. And because I was nervous about, you know, the old timers in Marine City that go to every single game, they've gone to them for 60 years. And, you know, it's a guy's sport. So I wasn't sure how they would receive me. And I knew in the beginning of varsity, it was going to be a lot of pressure to kind of win them over. But once I did, you know, they were great supporters, and everyone just was really on board with it.
After you have that great year on the junior varsity team, you find out right before your junior year that you're getting that call up to the varsity level. What did you think it was about your game that won them over and gave you that spot?
I remember Coach Glodich pulling me aside in the hallway and saying, Hey, Olivia, you know, we're going to move you up to varsity. I'm really impressed with your accuracy and your consistency and, you know, just kind of keeping it cool. And we're going to bring you up to varsity. And, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, varsity. Like, I knew it was an option, but it was such a bigger stage. But yeah, I think it was just the fact that I really didn't get frazzled, and I had made all of my extra points, which I think was a big thing, that they could count on me. And in the tough games and the tight games and the playoff games, they knew I would still be consistent and be able to make those extra points. And I'm sure that he, you know, spoke with my JV coach and said that I didn't cause any problems on the team and I fit right in. So it was very exciting to be moved up to varsity. But I think I earned it. I think I earned that spot. It wasn't just awarded to me.
Now you're going to a much bigger stage because, like we've talked about, it's a big deal in Marine City. Marine City lives by its high school football team. I remember one year, I think that you might have been a student there, Halloween conflicted with a playoff game, so they decided, you know what, we're going to push Halloween back a night so we can make sure that everybody can make it out to East China for this Mariner high school football game.
That was my senior year.
And that's what a big deal it is. And now you get to be a part of that. You know, once you get that chance to run out in front of the huge crowd at East China Stadium as a member of the varsity team, you're breaking a huge barrier here. What was that moment like for you?
Oh, it was great. And at that point, I had gained such an appreciation for the game and the community and the kind of the hype that football gets at Marine City. And so I, you know, that was my dream too. When I got pulled up to varsity, it was like, I cannot wait to run out of the tunnel and, you know, to hear the cannon go off when we score. And I couldn't wait for all of that. And like the crowd behind us and the cheerleaders and the band. And, so it was so exhilarating, and I enjoyed my time on JV, but varsity was just a different deal. Everyone was there for every single game, even our away games. Like, we traveled really well. It was so exciting for me, but at the end, I had a job, and that's what I had to do. And so I had to stay focused and just play the game. And then afterwards I could celebrate with everyone. But, you know, while I was there, I had a job to do and had to do it well.
You touched on it earlier. You had the support of everybody, but I'm curious how Mariner opponents reacted to you having a girl on the football team. Did you ever hear anything from the opposing side when you were going out there to line up for extra points?
That was probably what I was most nervous about, was how the guys on the other team would react to me. A lot of them knew about me, especially like the local schools. But once we got into playoffs or like schools that are a little farther away, they didn't know that there was a girl on the team. So I heard a lot of like, is that a girl? Or, you know, things like that when I would run out on the field or like when we're shaking hands at the end of the game. But for the most part, the other guys were really cool with it. They didn't, you know, some people, especially my parents, were worried about me being targeted because I was a girl. But that really never happened. And, you know, on the rare occasion that it slightly did, my teammates were all over it. You know, they'd be like, what was his number? And they would shut it down really quickly. So I definitely had like 100 big brothers with me all the time that were ready to, you know, talk to anyone that treated me poorly. But for the most part, honestly, I was very well received by other teams too, which I was nervous about because I didn't, you know, it's different for them. I don't know if they're going to harass me or like target me after extra points or anything, but that really didn't happen very often. And I think for the most part, they all thought it was pretty cool too. And that I, you know, generally did well. So it was overall, it was very good.
100 Big Brothers. That's a pretty awesome thing. That's what high school football does. It builds relationships. How many of those guys do you still keep in touch with?
You know, we've all gone our separate ways, but I would say probably like 3 or 4 of them, you know, I'll still check in with every once in a while. Because I don't live in Marine City anymore, but if I'm ever in Marine City and I see any of them, like, it's always, hey, how you doing? How you been? Like, let's catch up. But yeah, there's a few that I still will regularly text and just see how things are going and how college is going for them. And, you know, they're off living their lives. But I think, you know, even if we don't regularly talk to each other, we still have that really special bond together.
Looking back on the 2013 season, the Mariners were 8-1 in the regular season, and you made 61 of 65 on your extra points, but you only got to make one field goal that whole season. They never really got you that opportunity. Would you have liked to have attempted more of those?
I think I would have been capable. I think I would have been able to do it, but every time, you know, because there would be a possibility. So they tell me, Olivia, get ready for a field goal. And I'm standing there right on the sideline, like ready in case I got to run out there. But every time I didn't have to go out there, there was a little relief.
I was like, okay, it's okay.
Like we got the first down or like we got the touchdown, like it's going to be okay. I was always ready for it, but whenever I didn't have to, it was like, okay, it's a lot of pressure off of me. But even the one that I got to do, it was really exciting, and I'm glad I at least got to do one. And when I tell people that, like, yeah, I only kicked one field goal, they're like, why'd you only kick one field goal? I'm like, well, we were really good. We usually got the first down, so I didn't have a ton of opportunities.
Yeah, the Mariners were a juggernaut on offense that year, so they didn't really give you that opportunity. But I do remember one time I was covering a Mariner game, and it was a close one that night. For the life of me, I can't remember who you guys were playing that night. But I thought late in the game there was going to be a chance for you to get out there and try to attempt a game winner. And I remember asking a friend of mine who was very familiar with the team, I said, what's Olivia's range? How far can she go? And he tells me, she's probably somewhere between 35 to 40. Now, was he being accurate or was he shortchanging you?
No, that's pretty accurate. My farthest extra point, or my not extra point, my farthest field goal I ever made was 40 yards, and that was in practice. And it was a stretch, you know, to get 40 yards, but pretty much anything inside of 35, I would have made all day. It was just that 35 to 40 range that was like, oh, I might make it, but it might be a little short. But yeah, anything 35 and in, I was money. I would have made it.
In 2013, Marine City made it to the Division IV state championship finals. Now, Marine City is a school that has been on that stage many times before, but you're the first girl that gets to play in the big game. So when you get the chance to run out of the tunnel and onto the field at Ford Field, there are so many guys in the state of Michigan. We're talking tens of thousands of guys who play high school football in the state of Michigan who never get that opportunity to run out onto the field and play in a state championship game. And so when you're doing that and you're living in that moment, knowing that you're really accomplishing something just big just by being there, what was going through your mind at that moment?
It was wild. It was a really, really cool life moment to be able to run out of the tunnel with all the guys on the team. And it was awesome to just be there, and everything was louder, and all the, you know, the announcers were louder, and the screens are huge. And also the uprights are 2 feet narrower on each side, which I didn't know about until the day before the game. So that was a little scary.
Surprise.
just like less room for error. But it was just being there and like being in the locker rooms and warming up there. And it was such an experience. And honestly, like it's crazy to me that I was still even able to do that. You know, I watch a Lions game on the TV and it's like, I was there. I played there. I scored in those uprights. And it was just honestly, like, to this day, even 6 years later, it was still the best day of my life. It was fantastic.
And not only did you get a chance to be there and experience that, you were 7 for 7 on your extra points, but I'm just curious, how were your nerves that day?
They were, in the beginning, they were rattled. I, on the way there, like on the bus right there, I felt sick. I was like, oh my gosh, like I knew I could do it, but it was just so much pressure, and I knew there was going to be a lot of people watching, and it was a lot to handle. But, and actually, when we were warming up in practice, the first extra point that I kicked, I missed it. And it just like just went wide left. And I was like, oh my gosh. I looked at my coach and he was like, do it again. And I made that one. And then I was like, oh my gosh. Like then I was nervous. I was really nervous. And I just kicked and kicked and kicked in warm up to just get it down and just feel more comfortable. And once I went out there and kicked my first extra point in the state finals game, I relaxed. I was like, okay, I can do this. And you can almost tell when you watch the game that like I'm a little more nervous about the first one. Like it doesn't go as far. It's not like kicked with as much power. And then the ones after that just get better and better and, you know, more straight down the middle. So it definitely, even as the game got close, as it went on, I still felt more relaxed and more confident in myself. And I just wanted my team to do well. I just wanted to go out and kick as many times as I could.
When you talk about the pressure that you're feeling, is it mainly just because of the fact that it is a state championship game, or did being the first girl playing in this game and having an opportunity to play in it, did that kind of add to that pressure?
I think that absolutely did add to that pressure, because even before the game, I had done a couple interviews like with the Times Herald or like radio stations, about the fact that I was going to be out there. So there was a massive buildup, not only because it was a state championship game, but also because I was going to be there. And so I definitely felt, I think I felt a little bit of extra pressure just from being the only girl. But the guys were very supportive, and like everyone, even through the nerves, everyone was confident in me. And I think that kind of boosted my confidence too. That was like, well, if everyone else thinks I can do it, like I can do it. And yeah, it was very nerve wracking being the first girl. But like I said, once I did that first kick and it went through, I felt a lot better. And then I just had fun with it. Like the rest of the game, I was just all smiles, and I was having a blast out there.
You and the team won 49-35 over Grand Rapids South Christian that day. So now you're a state champion. Take me through that moment that you knew that you had won a state title and that you made history.
It was wild. And we, as soon as we won, you know, we all rushed on the field and everyone's high-fiving, everyone's hugging, everyone's jumping, everyone's crying. And I just remember standing there, like they're announcing that we won and we were going to get the trophy. And it was so exciting. I was so happy for my coaches and my teammates that had worked so hard. I was so happy that they had gotten this achievement because they worked so hard for it. And I was glad that we won. Of course, I probably felt the most excitement for myself when I broke the school record for most extra points in a single season. I think that was after like my fifth extra point. So that was like my personal exciting moment. But when we won, I was just so happy for the guys because, you know, like I said, they grow up dreaming about it. And it had only really been my dream as of that season. So for them, it was really great. And I was just happy to be able to share that with them.
You never went into this looking to do anything more than just get an opportunity, and now you've excelled at the biggest stage. Does it even seem real even now today, 6 years later?
It really doesn't. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't come up in conversation that often. I don't like to gloat about it or, you know, act like, oh, look at what I did. But when it does come up, it's pretty fun to reminisce on it. And, you know, I have all the pictures on my phone, so I show pictures, and it feels like it was so long ago, you know, being 6 years ago, but also it feels like that day was just yesterday. And we were just, you know, we were just on the bus and just in the locker room and all those things just happened. So it's kind of like a dream, honestly, that it all happened, but it's fun when it still comes up in conversation nowadays and I get to reminisce a little bit about it.
Now, what did you do with the ring that you got?
It lived at my parents' house for a few years because I didn't want to have it like when I had roommates or anything. I was very, very nervous about it. But so it lived at my parents' house in a display case for a few years. And I know I live by myself now. And so I've got it with me and in its own little display case.
So you got a little bling that day.
I did. Yeah. And my coach offered me, he said, "Hey, Olivia, you know, we can probably get you like a female version of the ring if you want to, you know, we can work something out." And I said, "Heck no, like I want the same ring as all the guys because I'm just one of them. You know, I don't want any special treatment." So
I got the bigger, the better, Olivia, the bigger, the better. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I got the exact same ring as everyone else. And you know, it might look a little obnoxious on my finger, but it's one of my prized possessions for sure.
Now you said your family is really big into sports and the holidays are coming up. So how often does this get brought up around the table during the holidays?
Pretty consistently. Especially around Thanksgiving, because when we won, it was the day after Thanksgiving. And so my aunts and uncles will say, you know, "Hey, remember that?" Or like, "Hey, 6 years ago, we were at Ford Field watching Olivia." So even when I go home on a weekend and I'm just with my parents or something, I think they still think it's really cool. They still have the game recorded on their DVR, on their TV, and they watch it every once in a while. So it still comes up, not as often, you know, it's kind of tapering off recently, but it's still fun to talk about it every once in a while.
Now, after you graduate Marine City High School, you go on to college, but once you get there, you decided it was time to pursue other things in life. Now, you did play club soccer at Saginaw Valley State University, but despite everything that you accomplished in both soccer and football at Marine City, you never got that chance to be an NCAA athlete. Looking back at that now, do you wish you had that opportunity?
There are days when I feel like I might regret it. And, you know, I kind of wonder what could have been if I had accepted some of the offers from smaller schools that I had. But honestly, right now, like my priorities are just very different. And I still enjoy like playing soccer and playing in a women's league and watching sports and all that kind of stuff. But now my priorities are just school. I'm in grad school at Michigan State. I'm in the veterinary program there. So pretty much all my time and effort goes into school and just kind of pursuing my professional degree now, which makes me sound so old. But but yeah, I do sometimes wonder, you know, that how well I could have done at a collegiate level. But ultimately, looking back, I think I made all the right decisions for myself because it led me to where I am now and being able to pursue my true passion.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I see that you now are in veterinary school. When did you discover that passion?
My freshman year of college, actually, my undergrad at Saginaw Valley, I had an assignment for my basic psychology class. We had to volunteer somewhere and we had to write about how it impacted us. And so I started volunteering at the local animal shelter. And I had always loved animals. My family always had dogs and cats and everything. But once I started volunteering at this animal rescue, I just felt like if I didn't help animals for the rest of my life, then I wouldn't be doing what I'm supposed to do. So I was already a biology major. I wanted to do something in science. I actually was originally interested in forensic pathology. So I just kept my major, but just kind of started doing research on what it would take to become a veterinarian and job shadowed a little bit and decided that that was definitely the path for me. So I started job shadowing and getting experience and volunteering more and got a job at a vet clinic. And so four years of hard work and then applying, and now I'm at Michigan State. I've got about 3.5 years left in the program. So once I'm 26 and graduate, I think there are so many options within veterinary medicine, which I'm now realizing. But I think my true passion will always come back around. And I think that I will probably end up working tightly with animal shelters or with the Michigan Humane Society or something in the future. Because I worked in general practice for 2 years, which I really enjoyed. But I think my true passion really lies with animal rescue. And so I think I'll probably end up working that way somehow.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
I am a dog person. I have two dogs myself, and they're fantastic. But the more, you know, the more I'm around cats, I do like them more and more. But I think I'll always be a dog person through and through.
When you look at how far women have come in sports in just the time since you played back in 2013, what are your thoughts on how things are progressing? And what areas do you see that women can go farther in sports?
I love it. I love all of the, you know, the movements for gender equality and women doing such great things. And being a soccer player, I follow the women's national team. And so seeing them do so well in the World Cup and fighting for, you know, equal pay and fighting for all of this gender equality, I really respect them a lot. But even at the high school level or collegiate level, I just hope that women get recognized as much as men do, and get covered as well, and in the newspapers. And I just hope that, you know, the reporters treat them the same. There's always talk about how they're covered, you know, what is talked about them. So I just hope that everything keeps going the way it's going and that women keep making such great strides. And because, yeah, it's only been 6 years, but like you said, there's so many girls playing high school football, which is so great. And even when I was at Marine City, there were girls in the junior football program. And, you know, so even if they don't keep playing junior football, I just hope that these girls grow up and know that they can do whatever they want to do, no matter who tells them they can or they can't.
She is Olivia Viney, the first female to play in an MHSAA state championship football game. Olivia, this was such an amazing conversation, one I really enjoyed having. Thank you so much for making the time to do it.
Thank you so much for letting me reminisce on it and talk about it again. It's been a lot of fun.
And that's going to do it for episode 16 of A Duff Said. And once again, many thanks to Olivia Viney for coming on and sharing her amazing story. Now, we have had a number of great guests on this podcast who have come on and shared their stories with us. And if you haven't heard them yet, all you got to do is go to dufftyler.podbean.com and check out our previous episodes of A Duff Said. You can also go there next week when we drop episode 17. Until then, this is Duff Tyler reminding you that if Duff said it, it must be true, because that's what a Duff said.